Hi, welcome to the Diary of an Anxious Therapist. I'm your host, Ben France. I'm a licensed professional counselor and life coach who struggled with anxiety for my whole life. I'm also a musician, a writer, and a lifetime learner who thoroughly enjoys sharing what I learn and what I'm passionate about. With this podcast, my hope is to provide some insights, some information, and maybe even some interventions related to anxiety, finding and expressing creativity, and finding purpose and meaning in your life. I'll be using my own life experiences, along with things that I've learned in nearly a decade of being a mental health professional, to bring you content that is helpful, meaningful, and hopefully a bit entertaining. If you like what you hear, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcasting platform. And if you really want to do me a favor, leave a review. 5 stars are appreciated if you do feel so inclined. That being said, let's go ahead and dive into today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome to Diary of an Anxious Therapist, episode 11. Yes, we are almost a dozen episodes into this podcast, which is kind of amazing to me. When I first started it, I wasn't sure how far I'd take this, and the further I get into it, the more I'm enjoying it. So yeah, we are at episode 11 now. Sorry you'll catch me doing that occasionally, because that's where the video monitor is, and this is where my outline is in front of me. Anyway, for those of you new to the podcast, I just wanted to kind of give you a short little preview of what you can expect. This is, like the name says, this is my diary, Diary of an Anxious Therapist. That's this guy pointing at myself if you're listening and not watching. I am an anxious therapist. I've struggled with anxiety most of my life. And yeah, the intro talks a little bit more about that, so you've probably already heard that. So what are we going to be talking about today on episode 11? Oh, one other thing I forgot to add. These are pretty much unscripted, and I am very, very ADD, attention and deficit disorder. So my brain kind of jumps all over the place. And while I have an outline in front of me, which is what I'm pointing at right here on the screen, this is not scripted. So it's kind of stream of consciousness. I have a general idea of what I'm wanting to talk about with every episode. And then we just kind of see where my mind takes us. So today on episode 11, I wanted to start by I wanted to start with a confession slash introduction to our topic today. So confession, I want a Porsche Cayman, and I've got it all planned out in my head. I'm actually looking at it. It's the wallpaper on my computer. It is a Porsche racing green, which is kind of funny. I think actually it's probably British racing green, and they just decided to call it that because Germany. Boxster came, or Porsche Cayman, first generation, a 987.1. Doesn't have to be an S. It can just be the base model or what they call the strict Cayman. But I want a Porsche. Why do I want a Porsche? I want a Porsche because I'm a nerd about cars. I've always loved cars. I've always loved sports cars. I've owned enough cars that I'm kind of a little bit embarrassed to say, but let's just say I've been driving over 30 years and I've had more cars than I've had years of driving. So I always wanted a really cool sports car. I'm coming up on 50 years old here in about 2.5 years. I'll be 48 in August of this year. And so part of me really wants that Porsche Cayman. I want it to be the celebration of the hopefully halfway or maybe not even quite halfway point of my life. But there's a problem with that. I also want free time to do what I want when I want to. Meaning that as much as I love the idea of having that shiny Porsche in my garage and walking out and opening my garage door from the inside of the house and looking at it, and I can picture it now, you can see the smile on my face if you're watching the video. Just seeing that amazing mechanical machine sitting in the garage and going, wow, that's mine. I've got to be able to pay for that. And paying for that means then that I've got to be able to make X amount of income. Making X amount of income means that I have to put in X amount of hours working, doing my counseling and coaching work, and whatever other side hustles and gigs I dream up, which can vary on a monthly basis, whether it's podcasting or music or insert idea here, hence the ADD. So those two are in a little bit of conflict with each other. I want this shiny thing that's going to cost a pretty decent amount of money. Now, let's be fair here, and maybe part of this is my guilt of saying that I want a Porsche, when I know there are people out there that there are more of a, I just want to pay my rent this month. And I, believe me, I totally get that. I am by no stretch of the imagination wealthy. I definitely could not go buy a Porsche right now. Right now, my car that I drive every day is a 2004, yes, 20-year-old Honda Accord that my parents basically gave me because they don't have room for it anymore because they only have a one-car garage now. So I am not made of money by any means. But a Porsche like I want is a $20,000 to $25,000, maybe $27,000 car. That is a $27,000 luxury good that I don't need. But when I say I want a Porsche, I'm not saying I want to go and spend six figures on a vehicle and more than what I've paid for a house. That's insanity. I don't think I could ever justify that, even if I was making the money where I could afford to do that. That just sounds crazy. So just to give a little perspective there, and probably just because a little bit of my guilt of my privilege of knowing I could potentially buy one of those, but I'm not talking about spending six figures on a vehicle. I'm talking spending about the price of like a new Honda Accord or Toyota Corolla or something like that. But I digress. The problem with this, as I stated before, is the fact that this presents a conflict, and this means I have to make choices. How badly do I want that Porsche? Does that matter enough that I'm willing to give up my free time and my freedom and my ability to do what I want when I want in order to buckle down and put my nose to the grindstone to get that thing? Being that it'll be a 20-plus-year-old car, or actually probably a 15-plus-year-old car, it's realistically going to be a I buy it, not a finance it thing, which means I'm going to have to save up the money for that, which means I'm going to be putting money back in the bank if I decide to do that thing. Pardon me, adjusting my seating position for those of you that aren't watching, and also more coffee because coffee is life. And this is cup number two. It's just now about 11 a.m. in the morning, so getting on to cup number two a little earlier than I normally do. So if I'm talking a little fast, part of it's just it's me. And part of it is all the caffeine and magic bean juice. So, yeah. Loud slurp for dramatic effect. So, getting back to the point at hand, what's the problem with this conflict? The problem with this conflict is that I have to really get aware of where my priorities are. And one of the places that I start with that is that I will start with, when do I feel the most happy? When does life feel the best to me? When does it feel like things are going in a good direction? If I think about recent history, I can rewind back about 2 years ago to 2022. In 2022, I had significantly less bills than I have right now because I had not yet fallen back into that trap that so many of us do in Western society of credit cards and buying things on credit because I can just pay for it later and so on and so forth. And so I had a lot less going out that I needed to make every month. Now, granted, things have gotten more expensive in the past 2 years also, and inflation is a real thing. I don't want to turn this into a political conversation because, politics gross. I don't like to talk about it, but things have gotten more expensive. That being said, though, I have also, I'm ashamed to admit, pretty much doubled what my monthly outlay was on expenses 2 years ago versus now. So what does that mean? 2 years ago in 2022, I was still working as a counselor and life coach. I was still working with clients, but there was not nearly the financial pressure that there is now based on doubling my outgoing expenses that I have. So what did that mean? That means that I had more free time. What did that look like? That looked like there could be days like a Tuesday morning, like today, for instance, if it was a nice sunny day outside, and if I didn't have client sessions already scheduled, I could get in my car, my 20-year-old Honda Accord. I could drive to the local Japanese stroll garden, which is my favorite place in this area. And I could spend the whole day or the majority of the day just being out in nature, walking around, listening to the water running through the stream there, meditating, reading a book, journaling, basically doing whatever I wanted to do. If a Thursday came around and I knew that next Thursday was going to be a nice sunny day, I could potentially schedule my life as such that I didn't have client sessions on to that Thursday. This is Newt, everyone. He is our recent, for those of you that can't see, this is the Schnootly. Newt is our recent addition to our upstairs of our home. He was previously our little basement kitty, and we've now are integrating him to the upstairs, and he very much likes to get in the middle of things. So you will probably see him walk across the screen or behind me over, I can't ever do that right, over there somewhere multiple times in this video. So anyway, I digress. I could take a Thursday if I didn't have client sessions, or if I had a Thursday coming up that I knew was going to be a nice day, or if I had something going on, maybe there was a car show in a local town, or maybe there was like a festival or something like that, or maybe there was a concert on a Wednesday night that was not in my area, which means it required travel and maybe staying the night somewhere. I could clear my calendar for that Thursday as long as I gave my clients appropriate notification, of course, and as long as it was something that was agreeable between the two of us and I felt they were in a good place where we could afford to miss that week. And I could just take that day and do what I wanted to do. And you know, that felt incredible. That's probably the happiest, the most present, the most low stress, and yes, low anxiety, Diary of an Anxious Therapist. If you've listened to previous episodes, you'll know all about my anxiety. If you haven't, go back and check them out if you want to, because you can hear about how tumultuous it's been and why I think maybe I have something to offer to people who struggle with that like I do. But once again, I digress. I could pretty much do what I wanted to do with my time within reason. Now, I realize I'm privileged to be able to say that. I have an amazing partner and an amazing spouse and my wife, Tracy, who is very supportive of me. And when I say supportive of me, there is this part of me internally that kind of cringes and goes, oh God, does that mean your wife is financially supporting you and you're not having to do anything? It's not what I mean, although there's some truth to that, meaning that she does work a 40-hour a week full-time job in higher education. Her job is super stressful at times. But her job does give us health insurance. Her job does give us a consistent month-to-month paycheck. That me being self-employed, there's never a guarantee of that by any means. So I realize there's some privilege, and I'm very thankful for that privilege and being able to do that. But regardless, the reality was 2 years ago, I could do that. And now, not so much. I'm not in the place where I can really do that. I'm now in the place where it's like, I've really got a plan ahead, and accordingly, if I want to take a day off, and I've got to look at bills, and I've got to look at when due dates are on things, and I've got to go, oh, can I do that? And maybe I'll do that a couple months from now, and maybe I can save up a little extra money and set it there, so then the fact that I don't work on a Thursday, the money I would have made on that Thursday is already sitting in the bank there, and I don't have to worry about it. So yeah, well, I know, first world problems, absolutely. And I hope this doesn't sound like I'm whining, because that's not my intention whatsoever. My intention with this is just to bring to light that reality that we have to make choices based on the way we want to structure our life and the way we want to live our lives. So I have to make choices. I'm going to try to keep this first person. For those of you that have listened to the podcast before, you know that I try to do this very much as it says, Diary of an Anxious Therapist, meaning if you could open up my flip-top head and see the thoughts in my head, these are the things that you would hear, and hopefully they're helpful for you. And yes, realistically, the thoughts in my head are not about all of us need to blah, 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 although it's there sometimes, but the reality is there is an awful lot of I and me, as we all deal with in the reality of our day-to-day lives. Sorry about that. It is allergy season in full effect, so for those of you listening, you have no idea what I'm talking about. For those of you watching, I was just scratching my eyeball, and I know that's kind of gross, but it's that time of year. So, let me get another drink of the magic bean juice. I could just gargle with that stuff. I think I may be addicted to caffeine, but that's a topic for another episode. So, let's dive down into this a little more. Why do I want things? What are the driving factors that make me think I want that shiny Porsche racing green metallic Porsche with black leather interior and blah, 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 blah? Why do I want these things? I'm using the Porsche as an example. Like I said to start with, I'm a car guy. I've always been a car guy. It's something that I always see as being a key part of me. Excuse me. Ooh. And with that being the case, it's something that I've kind of put as being part of my identity as well. Now, why is that part of my identity? That's probably a topic for another episode related to identity and the things that make us us. But I do identify it as being a key part of me. And being that it's a key part of me, I kind of think it's cool to have a neat car. Also, a lot of my friends are car people. Now, my friend circle is smaller at 47 years old, almost 48, than it was at 21, 22 years old, just because of the reality of life. But one of my best friends is a total car guy. We get together once a month or so, and we watch a car-related movie. We go to Cars and Coffee and stuff like that. So it's a key part of me, and it's a key part of what I do when I interact with other people. Why else do I want things like that? Why else do I want that shiny Porsche? Because it sounds fun. Sounds like an exciting thing to have. Sounds like, man, I could get up on a Sunday morning. I could get Tracy and wake her up. We could go out to the garage and we could take our shiny sports car and we could go for a Sunday drive and we could go get brunch down at the lake near us. Once again, guilt and awareness of privilege creeping in. Lunch at the lake doesn't mean a five-star dinner. Brunch at the lake means going down to a cafe in Podunk, Missouri, and having fruit or something like that. But regardless, it sounds like it'd be a fun thing to have. It'd be neat to go to car shows and have my shiny car and show it to people and be like, look at this thing that I have. Isn't it cool that I got it? Why else do I want things? And we're going to go a little more broad here than just that shiny car. We're going to talk about things in general. Why do I want to go and buy something? Is it because sometimes I don't currently feel fulfilled? Is there something in me that feels like it's missing or it's lacking? And do I think that by buying this thing, it will make me feel fulfilled? If I buy this shiny sports car, will I then feel like life is good and I'm happy and life feels awesome and I've done the thing and I've arrived? Woo! Hands in the air for those of you that can see this. Maybe there's some of that. Why else do I want things? Some of it can be because I'm bored. I feel a little bit complacent in life. I feel a little bit like, hi, Schnootly. I feel a little bit like things are okay. They're kind of here. They're not bad. They're not good. They're not exciting. Well, they're not. I don't want to say they're not good. They're not exciting. They're just kind of here. So let's introduce something new into life, and maybe that'll make it feel exciting. We can go down a whole rabbit hole on that, and we're going to talk about that in a future episode. But maybe I'm just feeling bored, and maybe that's a way to distract myself from that bored or unfulfilled feeling, which leads us into the next one. Not feeling like life feels purposeful. If I don't feel like I'm working towards something, and not in a work myself to the bone, but feeling like I have a purpose and feel like there's a reason I get up in the mornings and I do these things and I do my job and I'm serving towards some greater good. For those of you that have ever seen the movie Hot Fuzz, one of my all-time favorite movies. If not, sorry, obviously minor diversion there. But not feeling purposeful, feeling like life is just kind of doing its thing and there's not really a whole lot of purpose to it. So if I get this shiny thing, that distracts me from not feeling like there's a lot of purpose in my life, and temporarily it feels like, ooh, I've got a purpose. I can make some money and I can buy this cool shiny thing, and look at that, look what that says about me because I bought this cool shiny thing. So that's a possibility. Similar to that is this idea of not being present in my life right now, meaning always chasing after that next thing that makes life feel good, that makes life feel exciting, makes life feel purposeful. Not being present in right now for whatever reason. We could do a whole episode on why I push away sometimes from the present moment of my life and why I think we all do that. But that could be a key factor. I'm chasing the next thing because the next thing will be the thing that'll make me feel good. Because right now, for some reason, something feels like it's missing here. And so I'm going to roll on to the next thing and I'm going to keep chasing that next thing because then maybe then I'll feel, insert adjective here, happy, fulfilled, safe, at peace, calm, not anxious, da 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 da. Another big one, and I don't want to go on a huge tangent here because this is about mental health. This is not about sociology, although ironically, my undergrad degree is a double major in psychology and sociology, so I could absolutely go there, even though I'm about... Wow. Time goes by fast, folks. Sorry, temporary diversion, but I am 19 years, almost 20 years away from having completed my bachelor's degree, so holy moly, time goes by fast. But anyway, I digress. Societal pressures could be a reason why I want things. You're supposed to want all the things. What do we see with advertising? People are having fun when they're drinking this beer, or when they're having this car, or they're going on this cruise, or they're doing this thing with people. So you're supposed to want it. That's what life is supposed to be. How do you know you're successful? When you've got all the things. And so you're supposed to want them, and you better go after them, because then that'll make you happy. Social media plays a role in this. I'm currently at the very front end stages of really reassessing my relationship with social media, because social media can absolutely add to those feelings of not being enough or feeling like I need these things. What do we see on social media? It's shifting a little bit, and I'm kind of hopeful for the future. But in general, we don't see the people that say, I just sit at home today and read a book, and my life is awesome, and it was great like it was, and I was happy and content. We see people that say, I just went and I traveled around the world, and it was the greatest thing ever. Or, ooh, look at this cool new thing that I just bought. Or, ooh, look at this neat experience I'm going to be having next week, and so on and so forth. So we start seeing this from a lens of, well, that's what life is supposed to be. It's supposed to be exciting all the time. It's supposed to be new experiences all the time. We're supposed to get all the things. And if we feel like, rephrase, that's what I start to see, trying to stay in the first person. And if I feel like my life isn't like that, maybe I'm doing something wrong, and so maybe I need to be chasing after those things too. Another thing with societal pressure, we are kind of programmed from an early age that success equals things equals being a good consumer. Now, once again, I could go on a tirade here, but I'm going to do my best not to. But I think that label and term in and of itself is revealing it. A consumer. We are in Western society and a capitalist society and a capitalist structure when it comes to economics. What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to consume. We're not supposed to coexist. We're not supposed to be content, but we're supposed to consume. We've been so conditioned this way that if you tell somebody, and I've seen this before, I live in a 60-year-old house and I drive a 25-year-old car, and my average age of a shirt or a pair of pants I have is 10 years old, people look at you like you have a second head here sitting on your right side of your shoulder going, what's the matter with you? Don't you want stuff? So we're programmed from a really early age that this is what we do. This is what means life is meaningful. If you even think about the general trajectory within the American dream, what do? We go to school, we grow up, we go to college, we get our college degree, we meet somebody, we fall in love, we get married, we buy a house, we have kids, we pay for our kids to go to college, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, consume, consume, consume. Add to the economy, because that's what makes you a good person in this society. So I will now step back off of that soapbox, but that consumer mentality definitely plays into why is it that I want things and I chase things. So that being said, let's talk a little bit about maybe what we can do about this, maybe what I can do about this, what I've been working on doing about this for myself. And hopefully maybe it's helpful for some of you to think about this. Maybe it gets the gears turning a little bit. I can't think of it. There's a scene in a movie with Brad Pitt. And yes, I talk in a lot of movie allegories, I guess, for lack of a better way of putting it, because I'm a movie fanatic as well, too. Where he's laughing, he says, I can see the gears grinding. I can't remember what movie that is. If you've seen that, you know what I'm talking about. Put it in the comments below. But essentially, how do we reframe this? How do I reframe this? The first question that I've asked myself repeatedly and that I'm really trying to come to terms with is, what is success? What does it really mean to be successful? does successful mean that you have the big house, that you have $1 million in a retirement account, that you've got the shiny new Porsche or the shinier new Porsche or the shiny new car, that you have all the things, that you take vacations around the world? It can, sure. And I'm not by any means, I'm not sitting here to judge and to say, if that's your idea of success, you're wrong or there's something wrong with you. Who am I to tell you that? But for me, what is success? What does success look like? So I've spent a lot of time on that. I'm kind of jumping around here a little bit, but if I were to answer that question, what does success look like? It's freedom of time to do what I want to do, when I want to do, and be able to do those things in meaningful ways. So, does that mean having a shiny German racing green metallic Porsche in my garage? Maybe. But does that also maybe mean being content with my 20-year-old Honda Accord so then I can go hiking down in the state forest today? Yeah, maybe more so. I don't know, I'm still coming to grips with that, but looking at that question, what is success? What does that really mean to me? What truly brings me happiness? And I've got truly, if you could see my outline here, I can't flip around the camera because you are the camera is on my laptop, so I can't very well yank it out and turn it around there and let you see the outline. But if you can see the outline, I have the word truly in all capital letters. What truly brings happiness to me? That is a big question that I really need to be looking at when I'm trying to make these decisions on directions I'm taking in my life and steps I'm taking, debt I'm accruing, things I'm chasing after. Coffee drink. Also, what feels lastingly meaningful and not just something that feels meaningful in the now and transitory? This gets back to something I was talking about earlier, but it's that ooh shiny syndrome of if I buy the Porsche, it's gonna feel super meaningful and I'm gonna be like, hell yeah, pardon my language for if you have kids out there, hopefully that's not too bad of a word, but hell yeah, look at me, I got myself a Porsche. How cool is that? I know from experience in the past, while I've never had a shiny Porsche, when I buy things, they feel super exciting. And then within a short period of time, they kind of just become part of the wallpaper. I'm a movie fan, as I said. So last year, come hell or high water, I had to have a very big, very gigantic television because I wanted that to watch movies because I like watching movies and it'd just be cool to have a big TV. So I went, I bought myself, I saved up the money. The Bank of Capital One saved up the money and bought myself a 75-inch LCD television. And it was awesome, and it was cool, and I can't believe I've got something that big. The TV's almost as... Actually, I guess, yeah, the TV's almost as big as I am tall. And you know what now? It's just kind of a TV, and within about... honestly, within about 5 months of buying that TV, I canceled a bunch of my streaming services because I realized that I'm just spending so much time watching television. I'm not doing a lot of other things with my life. So, transitory. Something that was super meaningful for a little bit, but didn't really have that staying power. So I need to think about that when I'm trying to make the decisions on what are the things that are important, when I'm trying to reframe my life into different terms. What are other things that are important? And now I'm going to get a little bit more specific. Connection with other people. That's one that I struggle with because of my anxiety. But when I get through that initial anxious push of, I don't know if I can do this, some of the most meaningful times I have in my life are connection with other people. Whether it's time with my parents, who are definitely getting older, Dad's turned 84, Mom's turned 83. It's time with my amazing wife, who I wish I would have met 20 years earlier, but I didn't, and that's okay, because life takes us on the journey that it does. If it's time with friends, whatever it is, that connection to other people, that feels very important to me. And if I make the decision to go chasing after something that's going to take away from my time from being connected to others and having meaningful time with those people, is that a sacrifice that I'm willing to make? Is the shiny thing worth that? I'm still coming to terms with that. But my instinct as I'm sitting here in this moment says, no, I don't think it's worth that. When I watch things on YouTube, because I'm a big fan of YouTube, I follow, I don't even know, probably over the years, hundreds of channels on YouTube, and I don't unfollow anything because I followed them for a reason, because I got some value from it. So I don't want to be the person to tank somebody's YouTube metrics by unfollowing them, unless they go really like off in right field and I just can't deal with the stuff they're putting out there anymore. But anyway, sorry, digression. The things that connect with me the most on YouTube are things that are like slow living and intentional living and things like that. And the connection with others is a big part of that. Does my shiny new thing that I want to have, does it allow me to do that? Or does it pull me away from that? If it pulls me away from that, maybe it's not that important. Another thing that's important on what means life is successful and meaningful is helping other people. I hope that this podcast plays a role in that for those of you that listen and or watch. That's my goal with this. Would I be lying if I said I don't hope that maybe some people hear this and say, I'd like to work with that guy and maybe he'd be a good life coach for me or a good counselor? Of course, that would be awesome too. But why do I do that? Because I want to help people. Because I know what it's like to struggle. And it sucks to struggle. And so once again, if I'm chasing after the shiny things, does that really allow me to be present and help people in the best way possible? Or does that somehow put a extra level of pressure on it that I'm doing this because I have to make X amount of money to do the thing, and so then maybe I'm really trying to be present, but also part of me is going, oh God, what about these bills? What about that? So on and so forth. And does that take away from me really being there in presence, sitting with that client, helping them with what they need help with? Also, less pressure and less stress on what makes life successful. This is a huge one for me. And I talked about this earlier. Back in 2022, when I was feeling less pressure and less stressed, life just felt good. It felt, yeah, it felt calm. Things felt like they were heading in a good direction. Maybe not even that they were heading in a good direction. Things just felt like they were good. The present moment was awesome. So if I'm chasing after all of these things, is that taking me away from that present moment, less stressed, less pressured feeling of life is good? Going along with that is, I've said presence several times, living in the now as opposed to projecting myself in the future or living for the idea that someday I will get to dot, dot, dot. If I'm always chasing things and I'm always chasing happiness, when am I ever really happy? I want to say something that's such an annoying platitude. I really truly believe that because it's kind of such a cliched saying, but I think it's cliched because it's true. Happiness is not a destination. Happiness is a feeling. And if I'm searching for and chasing after the next thing and I am striving and going for the next thing, am I ever really truly happy? If the answer to that question is no, that feels like a tragedy to me. That feels like a life that while it's not mine to judge, but for me, I'm going to put it in first person terms. For me, if I got to the end of my life and it felt like I was never really happy in that present moment and I'd always been chasing the next thing, in some ways, that would feel like a wasted life, and I would feel like my time here wasn't really meaningful and didn't really matter. So, yeah, enough about how I reframe my life or how I'm working on reframing my life in the idea of striving versus just having peace, calm, and quiet and being in my life. So, what is the ultimate goal? This is a question we should all ask ourselves. And this is an individual thing. And my goal may not be your goal. Your goal may not be my goal, and that's perfectly fine. It's not mine to tell me I'm right and you're wrong, or vice versa. For me, the conclusion that I'm coming to, the conclusion that I think is the answer for me, and it's been getting stronger and stronger the further I go down this path. Maybe some people would say wisdom comes with age. Whatever that means. Rolling my eyes for those of you that can't see the camera. But maybe it's just the reality of lived experiences and that makes things shift in us. But for me, what is the ultimate goal of this life? I want to be happy. I want to feel like I'm loved. And I want other people around me to feel like they're getting love from me, that I'm giving them love. And so if that's my ultimate goal, I need some clarity around what that means, what that looks like. What is happiness really? Is it having that shiny thing? Yeah, maybe. For some people, maybe. For me, the further I get in this journey, the more I think, no, that's not it. But feeling loved. How do I feel loved? I feel loved by feeling connected to people. How do I get connected to people? I've got to be present with people. How am I present with people? I have to be present with people by really being there and being able to be there and give my time and my attention and be in that moment. Giving love. How do I make the people around me feel loved? By being present in their freaking lives and being there for them. Can I do that? If I'm constantly chasing the next thing and I'm constantly putting myself behind the eight ball where I am at stress level 9.99, DEFCON 5 or whatever, I always get those backwards, or DEFCON 1, whatever it is. For me, I can say no, probably not. When I'm stressed like that, I don't do as good of a job of giving love and care to the people around me because I'm so stressed out, I'm kind of in my own head and it's easy for me to miss things. So what is your ultimate goal? What is the thing that matters to you the most? What is the thing that makes life feel like this was a life well lived? And does striving for things play into that goal in a positive way or in a negative way? Questions to ask yourself. Question that I've been asking myself and that I'm still have a little bit different answer depending on one day versus the next. I like to say that that's because of my ADD nature. That's probably true to an extent because I'm very much that way. But also maybe that's just because I'm not quite there yet and haven't quite figured it out yet. I am not by any means a fully baked human being. I don't think any of us ever get there in this lifetime. But I'm working on inching my way there towards figuring out what that ultimate goal is and how I get that. So let me talk a little bit now about how I start finding direction. Or as I put it in the outline here, because I think I'm funny or punny, how do you turn the Titanic? For me, it starts with awareness. How do I gain awareness? Meditation is a big thing for me. I've let that slide for quite a while. If you've listened to previous podcasts going all the way back to episode 1 back last fall, I think October of 2023, which I say all the way back, I guess that's been 6 months ago, but it feels like years in some ways. I stepped away from meditation for a while because I had a very, very anxiety-producing experience with it. But I'm getting back into that. And why do I do that? Because that brings me into this present moment. Bringing me into this present moment allows me to really be still and allows me to really sit with the feelings that I have coming up and allows me to really identify what's driving those feelings. And then I can make a better informed decision on whether I'm taking that left turn at Albuquerque. For those of you that are Gen X or older like me, you'll know what that means. For those of you that don't, trust me, it's funny in my head. But being more present like that in meditation allows me to make more present-minded decisions like that. How else do I turn the Titanic on changing my life path and changing striving versus being changing what I want and what I'm going after? I put in my notes here really simply that you are what you quote-unquote, eat. For those of you not watching the video, I just made the annoying air quotes, and yes, for some reason, I'm that person, even though I find this to be very annoying that we make air quotes. But I do it, so whatever. You are what you eat. What you take in, it shapes your thoughts, it shapes your experiences, it shapes your beliefs, it shapes your desires, and it shapes your wants. Yes, when I wrote this, I was probably thinking about social media, but in general as well. If I'm watching, and this is probably going to show my age, because I don't even know if this exists anymore because MTV hasn't been music television in years, but if I'm watching MTV Cribs, is that going to affect whether or not I think my 500 square foot house that was built 60 years ago is enough of a house? Yeah, entirely possible. So you are what you eat. What you take in will shape your perception on things. So being mindful of that, if I don't want to be keeping up with the Joneses, this guy right here, that's true. Then I probably don't need to be watching how neat the Joneses' life is, because that's going to make me think I should have that too. So being mindful of that. And asking myself, do I really want the thing, whatever it is, or do I want the feeling that I think, keyword or key statement, that I think the thing will give me? Let me drill down on that one just a little bit. Let's go back to the very start of this episode, and I hope this isn't overbearing and annoying, and I hope that people aren't rolling their eyes or saying, oh my God, this guy is so out of touch with reality because he's talking about buying a Porsche and I'm struggling with XYZ. It's just the example that's in my head, so please bear with me. If I go back to that first example of, do I really want the Porsche? Is that really what I want? Do I really want a potentially high-maintenance German sports car in my garage that I'm going to have to save up for several years to pay cash for, and that if I decide I no longer want to do the maintenance myself, because as I get older, I am enjoying working on cars less and less, that I'm going to have to go pay $160 for an oil change because it says Porsche on it? Or that if I have to do something like a timing chain service, that's multiple thousands of dollars? Or God forbid the motor goes bad on that car and all of a sudden now if I'm going to keep that car and keep it driving, I'm going to spend as much money rebuilding the motor as I did on the whole car itself? Ugh, that doesn't feel good. So why is it that I think I want the Porsche? Is it the feeling that I think I'll get from it? Is it that feeling of accomplishment? Is that feeling that of happiness? Is it that feeling of wee that I'll get when I drive it? Maybe so. And if that's the thing that gets me that feeling, and if I'm okay with the things I have to give up in order to do that, cool. No harm, no foul. But maybe it's worth asking myself, can I get that feeling in other ways that align more with the overall things that I think I value more? Can I go to a track day and rent a race car and play on a track for 3 hours and get to drive faster speeds than I'd ever drive my Porsche on roads in Southwest Missouri and get that feeling of speed and go wee? And maybe I spent $500 on that one time as opposed to spending $20,000 on that plus all the thousands of dollars of maintenance and blah, 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 blah. So do I really want the thing, or do I want the feeling that the thing is giving me? And I'm going to do another episode on this concept pretty soon, because this is something I've really been leaning into lately for myself and with my clients. And I believe it can be a really eye-opening, it can be a really space-opening thing for us related to getting in touch with those feelings. So I don't want to go too deep in the woods with that, because I'm going to do a complete episode on it. But that is something I've been working on that maybe helps me turn the Titanic, turn the direction of what I'm pursuing and why I'm pursuing it. Getting real with, is it the thing I want, or is it the emotion and the feeling that I want, and what's driving that want for that emotion and that feeling? So that being said, I feel like I've been going for quite a while here. I didn't start a timer. There's not a timer. I just use Zoom to record these at this point because it's easier to do it on my laptop than to set up my camera that you can see sitting over that shoulder. Man, that's hard to do right there. See that little guy there? Good Lord, I can't do this. If you see that little guy there, that's my Panasonic GX7. Once again, the thing had to have it so I can make videos. Now, that's been several years ago. That's coming back to during the pandemic, and it has got a lot of use, but you see, gotta have a Panasonic GX7 because that's an awesome thing that I can make podcast videos and make YouTube videos with. I don't remember the last time I picked it up off that table and turned it on and used it, so maybe that's, I feel a little sheepish, but maybe that's an example of a transitory thing. Maybe me from 4 years ago should have asked myself, hey, do you really want the Panasonic G7? Are you really gonna use it? Or is it the feeling of something you're chasing? So anyway, and that being said, I feel like I have droned on for long enough. If you are still watching this, kudos to you. You are a champion. I'm trying to think of the word and I can't think of it. I watch a lot of Australian YouTube and stuff like that. There's a term that they use when they're talking about someone being like a good person or like a helpful or a friend, and it's escaping me. If the Mighty Car Mods guys were to ever see this podcast, which I highly doubt, Marty or Moog, help me out. What's the word you use when you talk about someone who's helpful? It's just escaping me right now. But if you want to do that, maybe let me know, what are the things that you've struggled with finding a balance? How has this struggle of finding a balance between your desires in your life played out for you? Do you feel like you've got a pretty firm grip on it? Do you feel like you have a good process on, hey, this is the process I go through when I'm thinking about this or that thing, and thinking of this takes me back to business 101 in my community college years, but the opportunity cost of buying this thing versus that thing. Share it with me. I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email, benjamin@benjaminfrantz.com. Drop me a comment on this video below or comment on the podcast. You can reach me through all my social media channels. They're pretty much all under my name, on Threads and on Instagram at benjaminfrantzlpc. On my website at benjaminfrantz.com, on Facebook at benjaminfrantzlpc, theoretically on TikTok at benjamin_france_lpc, although I'm not very active on there. And like I said, I'm having some conversations with myself about social media. I will do my best though to try to check those routinely in case someone does reach out to me through there. So, that being said, next episode, I had alluded to last time on episode 10 that episode 12 was going to be a Q&A episode for people to submit questions to me, things that they wanted to know about. And then I was going to take a little bit of a break and regroup, take maybe a little bit of time off, and then come back with season 2. I'll be honest, folks, my ADD brain tells me that I'm still sussing out whether or not that's what I'm going to do, because I enjoy doing this and I hope that it's helpful. And I've had once again, being really honest, some really nice feedback from people in the past couple of weeks that really made me feel like, no, maybe I want to keep devoting a little more time to this right now and not taking a break from it. That being said, though, if you did hear that, or if you're hearing this and you do have questions for me, drop me a line, drop me an email, comment on this, comment on my Instagram, send me a DM, something like that, because I would love to do a Q&A episode of questions that you all might have related to anxiety or any of these other things that I've talked about on this podcast. So, that being said, I'm going to end this like I always do by saying that I wish you all nothing but peace, love, and happiness. And I'm going to own something that I stepped away from a while ago because I got some conflicting information on it. I am going to end this podcast by saying namaste. And namaste simply meaning that undying, eternal, spiritual part of me recognizes that part of you and honors that part of you. So namaste, and I hope you all are doing very well. Take care. Bye. That's it for this week's episode. I hope that you found the information to be helpful, inspirational, and maybe even a bit entertaining. Remember to subscribe to the pod via your favorite podcasting platform and rate and leave a review for the podcast if you'd like. 5 stars are always appreciated for that. Additionally, you can find me on social media via Threads and Instagram at BenjaminFranceLPC, TikTok via Benjamin_France_LPC, and via my website at BenjaminFrantz.com. I wish you peace, love, and happiness in your life. Until next time, take care, everyone.